It's good to see such a crowd. We're thrilled that you have come to share with us this day and these 2 weeks in the study of the Word. There was a poor country pastor, a simple man, led a simple life. But his world completely changed one day when in going through some receipts, he found a receipt for $250 for a dress. Now this poor country pastor was beside himself. Livid would be a good word, I believe. And grabbing the receipt, he ran off to find his wife. And there she was, and waving the receipt in her face, he says, "Good wife, what were you thinking? Why did you do this?" And she began wailing, "Oh, good husband, I don't know what I was thinking. I was just standing there looking at the dress. And then before you knew it, I was trying the dress on. And then it seemed like the devil was saying to me, 'Oh, you look so good. You ought to buy it.'" Well, this caught the pastor just for a minute. But he said, "But you know, good wife, what we say. You know how to deal with him. You say, 'Get behind me, devil.'" And then she really wailed, "Oh, good husband, I did do that. But then I think I heard him say, 'It looks good from back here too.'" Resisting temptation. Resisting temptation. We all have it, don't we? We know what it is. We know that lady's struggle. We have made decisions about whether to do something or not do something, even though we had this nagging feeling that we really shouldn't be. We struggle with making decisions. It is difficult, and we all recognize it. It is comforting to know that Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, also knew temptation. When we look at Matthew, the 4th chapter, and what happened to him just in the 3rd chapter and the 4th chapter, we find he has this glorious event. He is baptized in the River Jordan. The Spirit comes down and lights on him. The Father from heaven speaks in a voice so that the people can hear. And the next thing that happens, he finds himself in the desert. Life is rough. And it's not fair sometimes. And we wish it to be something else. And for a few hours in our life during this day and week and 2 weeks, this is great. Because we have the companionship and the comfort to resist those temptations. It doesn't seem like it's as big as a battle as it usually is. Because it feels good here. But it's a desert out there. It's a hostile environment. It is designed for one purpose. And that's to keep us from achieving our goal. And knowing how to resist is vital to our well-being. Let's look at Matthew, the 4th chapter. A familiar passage, but I want to take the time to read the first 11 verses. I'll be reading from the New International Version. "And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' And Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him. And angels came and attended him. We're going to look at five lessons that we can get from this story about how to resist temptation. Jesus gave us some principles right here. And you may never have thought about them just quite like this, but you'll see their application, I believe. The first thing we have to do is join in the battle. We have to join in the battle. Jesus was led into the wilderness. We need to know that we're in a battle. It's nice and safe right here. But as soon as we go in, we get joined into a battle. And it requires of us some alternative thinking. It requires that we set ourselves up for a different kind of lifestyle. Paul in Romans the 12th chapter and the 2nd verse says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to get in the battle. You have to join up. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Jesus was tempted in three different ways. Physically, He was tempted to turn this bread, turn this stone into bread. Spiritually, he was tempted to jump from the pinnacle. Psychologically, he was told that he could have all the kingdoms. He could be the most powerful man there. But Jesus resolved to join the battle because he knew the stakes. Paul, writing in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, reminded us, starting in verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. You have to count the cost. You need to join the battle because that's what it is. You can't stay in the ivory tower all your life. You may have noticed some of the athletic slogans on t-shirts. It says, refuse to lose. That's a good phrase. It's a good phrase for us. Refuse to lose. Because what it's talking about is that we are, as a team, going to make the dedication necessary so that there are no little tallies in the loss column. Now, most teams don't make it through a season without a little tally or two in the loss column. But that doesn't change their philosophy, does it? No. We have temptation, and sometimes we don't handle it well. But we need to refuse to lose to this temptation. We need to join in the battle. The next thing that we can pick out in this is to exercise daily. To exercise daily. God can't use a lazy person. The word discipleship has the same idea as discipline. And that's what we need to be. The society today gives us a much different picture, doesn't it? Society today says, get up when you want, go to sleep when you want, eat what you want, play what you want, see what you want. And so we have a real difficulty with the little word, no. Because society tells us, don't ever say that word. That's a bad word. Well, to be disciplined, to exercise daily, we are going to have to practice the word no. Jesus understood that in his experience in the desert. He fasted for 40 days to prepare. That was his daily exercise, if you will, to get ready for what was coming. Paul, again, talking about the idea of exercising and making this focus in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Well, hello? Isn't that what we understand? We know what racing is all about. We know what competition is all about. You don't run to come in second. Can you imagine that? Talking to an Olympic athlete, well, what's your goal? I want to come, I think a bronze is good. That's good enough. Well, he wouldn't be on the team long, would he? You exercise to be profitable, to get the prize. Paul goes ahead and says, everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it. We exercise. We go into strict training. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that I have, after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Paul says, if I'm going to resist temptation, I need to discipline myself. I need to find those times when I just say no. As a sixth grade teacher, the DARE program was in our classroom. Great program. The police would come in and share several things, and one of their phrases, just say no. And they had that on t-shirts. But it wasn't as simple as that, was it? You know, the people who were wearing just say no, a few years later, were the same ones they were arresting for selling drugs. We need to discipline. The next thing we need to do is stay in flight. Stay in flight. Jesus was led by the Spirit. The Christian community loves that word, on being led by the Spirit. And it's so fascinating that most everybody who really likes that phrase, the Spirit is always leading them into good stuff. But you notice what this does? Jesus was led by the Spirit where? To the desert? To do what? To be tempted. Well, what kind of deal is that? Being led by the Spirit, though, has a surety in it. Because what it says is God still in control? Does it make any difference whether we're talking about good things or bad things? God's in control. And if we can keep that in mind, we can stay in flight. We can keep where we're going. The prophet Isaiah wrote it this way about our hopes in Isaiah 40 and 31. He said, those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength and they will soar on wings like eagles. Keep them flying. Keep that hope alive. Understand that being led by the Spirit is a surety. Soar on wings as eagles. And he goes on to say, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The psalmist also writing in Psalm 119, verse 165. Talk about the idea of our feet and the surety that we have in Christ or in the Lord. Psalm 119, 165, he says, great peace. Great peace have they who love your law. And nothing can make them stumble. Stay in the flight. Keep your hope on the Lord. He is in control. And you will have peace. And nothing can make you stumble. He will guide your paths. You will indeed be led by the Spirit. The fourth thing that I see in there is understand your Bible. We all know that every time Satan attacked Jesus, Christ responded to him with Scripture. And have you ever thought about Jesus' response was quick and to the point? It was as if he had been practicing, prepared for that particular event. I'm about a 24-hour thinker. You know, you put me in a spot and 24 hours later I think, well, I should have said. Some of it has to do with practice, though. Some of that has to do with knowing the material. So to resist temptation, it sounds simplistic, but read your Bible. It's not a complicated thing. You just read your Bible. Being tempted is not bad or wrong. Jesus was tempted. It's how we deal with it. Psalm 1 and verses 2 and 3 in particular reminds us of this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Okay? He's understanding the word. He knows what's going on. But notice what the next verse says. It's important to know that this is not just, okay, go read your Bible and get it over with. It's understanding what's happening. Because he says, and he is like the tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. You see, being grounded in the word is like being a tree planted by water. You have a surety of always getting the nutrients you need. You will produce the fruit that you're designed to produce. You will do the task that you have been given. But it doesn't happen if you plant yourself in the desert. So you have to understand your Bible. And then finally, see the big picture. See the big picture. Jesus had been sent on a mission by His Father to rescue man from sin. It was a big job. And not only did He know what He was trying to do, but He knew that it meant His death on a wooden cross. And so when Satan said, "Tell you what, Jesus, I got you a deal. Just bow down to me. You know, you can give up worrying about those disciples and they're not catching it. You know, you're always knocking them in the head, ask anybody home. You won't have to worry anymore about people saying bad things about you, asking you questions, trying to trap you. You don't even have to worry about a cross, Jesus. I got it all taken care of right here. See how simple it's going to be? See how easy it's going to be?" But Jesus saw the big picture. He understood that to say yes to the devil in the desert was to say no to you and me. Knowing what the big picture is important. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 2 and 3, we find that we never reject the pathway God gives us. Even if it's difficult, it is always right to follow the law, to follow God. In Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." See the big picture. Sometimes it's not fair. Life just gets us there. It's not fair at all. And sometimes when we're in the middle of the temptation, it's hard to see how it's going to figure out. If I said the right thing, if I do the right thing, I just can't see how it's going to benefit me at all 20 years from now. I don't want to know about 20 years from now. We've got to keep the big picture in mind, because there is a day coming. So how do you resist temptation? Well, you join in the battle. You exercise daily. You stay in flight. You understand your Bible. You see the big picture. But the secret really is Jesus. That's the secret. Jesus is the way we resist temptation. He is the one that gives us the strength and the power to say no, to do those things. When you're faced with your temptation, you will be, the next 5 minutes, the next 2 hours, the next 40 years, you'll have your share of temptation. It's inevitable. Jesus will help you resist. If you're outside of Christ, He came to save you. I want you to understand that. Understand what He says? Despising the cross. Despising the shame. Forgetting all that's there. For the joy of rescuing you from your sin. That's what He did. We would love to share with you His good news. the gospel of His salvation. If you're outside of Christ, we encourage you to consider carefully your role, your plight, your position in the world today. If you have something you would share with the body, we encourage you to do that as well. Come as we stand and sing this last number.